Now, we are doing a whole series on our culture. So I preached on praise a couple of weeks ago, and Alan preached on love. And these are things we value in City Church and in our C3 culture. And today, the title is Be Bilingual, Speak in Tongues. So we're talking about praying in tongues today, and I haven't preached on this for 3 years almost, and it's time we do. So be bilingual, pray in tongues. So if you're taking notes, and I encourage you to, write that down. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would come in power this morning. Lord, I pray you would overtake this meeting, Holy Ghost, and that you would give us a fresh revelation of who you are. And I pray if people are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, they would be by 11 a.m. this morning. Lord, that you would open every heart. Lord, that we would fully utilize this amazing gift that you have given us of the language of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we bind unbelief and we pray you would come in power, Lord, and reveal yourself to us afresh right here, right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. So hands up if you are bilingual. You can speak Afrikaans or Spanish or Maori or something like that. Maybe, you know, like literally bilingual. Oh, lots of people. I'm so jealous. I'm from a farm and I can only speak English. But do you know what? Now I am bilingual because I can pray in tongues. I can speak in tongues. Who's spiritually bilingual? Like you've got tongues and English. Oh, that is good. And this is what God wants for us. It's fantastic to learn te reo, to learn another language, and I want to do that one day. But even if you can only speak English at the moment, you can be bilingual. God wants you to be bilingual. God wants you to speak in tongues. Tell the person next to you, God wants you to be bilingual. That's right. And we are a Pentecostal church. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, it comes back to the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell. So a Pentecostal church is a church that gives place to the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we want. It's nothing exclusive. It's just we want everything God has for us. We need the Holy Spirit. It's really hard to be a Christian without the power of the Holy Spirit. And we know on the day of Pentecost first fell, it talks about it in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together in one place. And we know it tells us there were 120 men and women gathered there. And the power of the Holy Spirit fell on them. There came a sound like a mighty rushing wind filled the place where they were. And then there appeared to be tongues of fire over their heads. And they all started speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit enabled them. And this was supernatural because they had not learned these languages. They had not studied them, but they were immediately able to speak in them. It's a supernatural thing. There's even a term in the dictionary for this phenomenon called glossolalia, if I'm saying it correctly. That is the phenomenon of people speaking in tongues. Tongues is an old-fashioned word for languages. When people can speak in a language unknown to them. Glossolalia. It's amazing. And it is the evidence that we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, when we become Christians, we repent of our sin, and then there's two baptisms. One in water, which we're having tonight in this very secret tank right here under my feet as we speak. It is filled up with warm water, and it is ready for tonight's baptism in water. Hands up if you've been baptized in water. Woohoo! Me too. And the next baptism, it can happen before or after or around about the same time, is baptism in the Holy Spirit. Just like when you go down under the water, this is like completely being submerged and saturated in the Holy Spirit. And we need that. And God wants us to have that. And God bypasses our controlling minds, our brains, and then he speaks straight to our spirit. So we go one-on-one with the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. Now, sadly, in the Western church today, there are many believers who actually are cessationists, which comes from the root word cease. So they believe that all the miracles and healings and power of the Holy Spirit stuff that happened in the Bible has ceased now. And it has stopped. That's what they believe. They think it was just for a few short special years and Bible times, but not for now. It's like they've taken Christianity, sucked all the power out of it, and all we're left with is a bit of dry religion. No thanks. You know, the book of Acts is called the Acts of the Apostles. And at the end of the book of Acts, it does not say, amen, that's all the end. The apostles are still acting. God is still alive and well, and he hasn't run out of power. He is still moving on planet Earth right now through you and me, through his people. The Holy Spirit speaks through us, gives us boldness to reach lost people. We lay hands on the sick. The power of the Holy Spirit flows through us and does a healing miracle. He is still moving. So Jesus came. He was born in a manger at Christmas. We have that in 1 month. And then he grew up and he ministered for 3.5 years. And he was killed on the cross. He gave his life for us. And then he was dead for 3 days. He went down into hell and took the keys of sin and death off the devil. And he rose again. And he took people with him and they broke out of their tombs. And he was risen on the third day. And then he kept appearing to people for 40 days. And then he went back up to heaven on a cloud. He ascended and he told them, "Don't go anywhere, guys." It's at the end of Luke. It's again at the start of Acts 1. "Don't even try and preach this gospel until you've got the power from on high, until you're clothed with power from on high." And he said it twice. And he's talking about us staying in the city and waiting until we're clothed with power from on high. We need the power. We need the enabling. And then he sent the Holy Spirit down to help us. And I'm going to share with you 3 verses spoken by Jesus about the Holy Spirit. And we've got about 6 main verses today. So let's get the first ones up there. John 14:26 and John 16:7. Jesus talking here. Isn't it funny? Wouldn't you love to see a preacher knocked out cold by the screen one day? That'd be entertaining, wouldn't it? It's gone. "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. And he'll remind you of everything I've said to you." John 16:7. "It is for your good that I go away," Jesus said. "Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And he did. 10 days after his ascension, the Holy Spirit fell on them. And that's Acts 2. God is a triune being. We know he has 3 parts to him. Hard for our 4-inch minds to comprehend. But there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is as much God as Father God on the throne. He is as much God as Jesus Christ, the Son. We pray to the Father, we pray to the Son, but we often overlook the third part of the Trinity, the third part of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. Do you know in Acts in the early church, they were always talking about the Holy Spirit. He is a vital part of the Trinity. He's not just an atmosphere. He is a divine person, and he is here right now to help you. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, excuse me, we are only getting part of the deal. And God has entrusted a supernatural task to us, reaching this world with the good news of his love. So we need his power, supernatural enabling to do it. If the disciples who lived alongside Jesus for 3.5 years needed the power of the Holy Spirit, how much more do we? How much more do you and I? The Holy Spirit wants to share about Jesus through your mouth. He wants to do healings and miracles through your hands. There is no substitute for the filling of the Holy Spirit. It is the power that will affect everything you do. He moves through us like electricity. And wave your arms at me, wave your hands at me like this. That's it. Everyone do that. That's it. These are your jumper leads. As you know, your jumper leads, and you take them and you put them on a person who is sick, or you put them on a person who just needs the power of God. Jeremy's got good jumper leads right there. Yeah, and you put them on, and there's this engine inside you, you see, it's called the Holy Spirit. And the power that is inside you goes through your jumper leads into that person. And the Holy Spirit brings the healing. He brings the miracle. He brings the revival. God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that everything about you will be charged with the dynamic of heaven. I'm here to tell you today, you need to be bilingual. You need to be spiritually bilingual. You need to speak in tongues every day of your life. The Holy Spirit wants to pray through you and for you. Here's the next verse by Jesus. Let's throw it up. Mark 16:7. This is what Jesus said. Mark 16:7. "These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons and they will speak in new tongues," and lots of other stuff too. So the Holy Spirit has a language. It's tongues. We need to speak his language. Now we know Jesus is into tongues. He prophesied it here and in these other 2 verses from John about the Holy Spirit. So we know it. We know Jesus is into it. We know it's God's will. We know it's in the Bible, it's in Acts, and it's in Corinthians and different places. So why are we sometimes hesitant to do it? Why are we a little bit funny about it sometimes? Oh, it's just so weird. It's just so weird speaking in tongues. Well, it's actually biblical, and if you do it every day, it'll stop being weird, and it'll rapidly start becoming normal for you. Praying in the Spirit is a powerful tool to build up your spiritual muscle. And it is your personal prayer language. Do you know every place in the book of Acts where someone was baptized in the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. Often it says they spoke in tongues and prophesied, or they started speaking in tongues. There's only one place in Acts when Philip went down to Samaria where it doesn't exactly say what happened, but Simon the sorcerer offered them money for it, so it must have been dramatic. He must have liked it because he wanted to buy it. It is God's will for you to be a tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled, born-again, baptized believer. Tell the person next to you, amen. Tell your second choice on the other side, you too. We have to take all that God has for us. We can't just pick out the bits of the Bible that we like, the bits that we think are PC and socially acceptable. We have to take it all. We don't want to be a fussy eater. Now, Pentecost is not just a one-off thing. God wants all of us every day to live overflowing with His power. Do you know, if we all got up every morning and prayed in the Spirit, prayed in tongues, and talked to the Holy Spirit before we talked to people, it would revolutionize our day. Because speaking in tongues lifts your mood. Did you know that? I'm a morning person. Hands up if you're a morning person. Oh, look at all my kindred spirits here. Hands up if you're not a morning person. Oh, yeah, watch out for those ones. Before 10 a.m., watch out for them. You know, I'm one of those annoying morning people who just wake up happy and smiley and cheery and talking. And not everyone else in my family is. No names mentioned, but Andre and I are morning people, and not everyone else is. Some of the others definitely are not. Some of them are okay. And I used to live with a girl, one of the flatmates years ago, who was definitely not a morning person. And I could not get a civil word out of her before 10 a.m. I'd say things like, "Hi, how you doing? It's a beautiful day. How did you sleep?" And she'd say, "With my eyes closed." So I quickly learned that I am a morning person from a long line of dairy farmers, and she is not, and do not talk to her before 10 a.m. But if you are not a morning person, you wake up grumpy, it is really important for you to pray in tongues and get in a good mood before you greet the rest of your flatmates or family. It is like a mood-enhancing drug, because the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and all that other good stuff. So when we start to speak the language of the Spirit in tongues, then we enlarge our capacity for the Holy Spirit, and He comes and manifests Himself in us in a greater way. So it can make you get happy. Tell the person next to you, you need to get happy. Get happier. Do you know, baptism in the Spirit and praying in tongues is overlooked by many Christians today. Many of us see the baptism in the Holy Spirit only as some spiritual historical milestone, like some ornament on our mantelpiece. Yes, here it is. It's like a trophy. I got baptized in the Spirit back at Increase in 04. Yes, oh, it's special. But we've actually got to use it every day. We've got to stay immersed in the Holy Ghost all the time. God's power has been given to us to be used every day. Let's look at the next scripture, Ephesians 5:18b. It says, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. The first part is don't get drunk with wine. That's a good word for some of you right there. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. This is a command of God, not a suggestion. It is not an option for believers. It is an imperative. This is a New Testament mandate. Be filled with the Spirit. Today, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we still need, more than ever before, to be filled with the Spirit. Filled to overflowing. Not half empty. Totally full. And the verb here is present tense. Present tense, meaning keep on being filled by the Holy Spirit. It's not just a one-off. It's to be a continuing experience. In Acts 2, the 120 people, the followers of Jesus, men and women in the upper room, were filled with the Spirit. But a few chapters later, it tells us in Acts 4:31 that they were filled with the Spirit again when the place where they were praying was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit again. So we need a continual infilling. And at City Church, we're committed to the pursuit of the Holy Spirit in our midst. So we allow people time to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. So we have altar calls regularly. We have ministry times where people come and lay hands on you. So you're not only hearing the word, but you're having an impartation. It's really important. We even have meetings like Holy Spirit nights, which now we have changed it up a bit and we call them worship nights, where we have no preaching. And we just allow people to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you that soon. Do you know Acts 19 verse 2, we see Paul asking some Christians who he met if they had received the Holy Spirit after they believed. And they said, no. Well, he didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. And he said, well, come here, let me lay hands on you. And they got baptized in the Holy Spirit. We're going to do that in just a moment at the end of this meeting. If you don't yet speak in tongues, you haven't been baptized in the Spirit, you need to come to the front and a leader is going to lay hands on you and the power of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. Here's the next scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 19. It says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. That's the NIV. The New King James says, do not quench the Spirit. The Living Bible says, do not smother the Holy Spirit. The message, don't suppress the Spirit. We've got to put him front and center where he belongs. Our relationship with God has got to be more than just head knowledge. We must actually experience him. The encounters we have with the Holy Ghost are spiritual landmarks in our lives. Never underestimate an experience with God. Experiences are powerful, defining events. We can't just know about the Lord. We've actually got to know him. And we can do nothing without the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, all we have is dead, boring, powerless religion that appeals to nobody. Here's a quote from Pastor Phil Pringle. I was been reading his book, Moving in the Spirit. He said, the greatest sins of the church today are grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. We so need the Holy Spirit with us every day. At work. At home. At school. At uni with us. Our constant companion and partner. Because we are spirit beings. We are made in the image of God and God is spirit. And do you know, when we pray in tongues, our spirit rises up inside us. When I start to pray in tongues, my spirit stands up. It surges within me and stands up. Same for you. When we pray in tongues, it is a gateway into the realm of the Spirit. And then our spirit is now activated and we've opened a fresh flow of the Holy Spirit into our spirit. It is very important for all of us believers to spend time every day praying in tongues. It actually strengthens us. It actually exercises our spirit. There are too many spiritually weak Christians walking around the place. They don't exercise their spirit. They live out of their flesh, out of their soul realm, out of their feelings. I don't feel good. I feel. I don't care how you feel. Tell someone who cares. Tell a nice pastor. Tell Alan. No, don't. He's worse than me. You need to take responsibility for your own spirit. You need to cultivate a strong spirit yourself. No one can do it for you. You need to exercise your spirit. I need to exercise my spirit. The Holy Spirit greatly energizes us. If we look at the book of Acts, how did those guys do it? You know, they were preaching the gospel, those 12 apostles, all over the world, walking every day, planting churches, casting out demons, healing the sick for decades on end. They didn't burn out. They weren't on medication. They weren't having therapy. It was the Holy Spirit powering them from the inside out like an engine inside of them. We've got the same Holy Ghost inside us today, fueling us, energizing us, speaking through us so that you can go on with longevity and be like Judy here who's turning 93 and be like Ron here who's turning 94. Still full of the Holy Spirit. Give them a hand. They're amazing. Woo-hoo! Praise God. He is so good, fueling us so we never put out. You've got to keep that engine going inside you all the days of your life. Here's another one of the scriptures. I can't remember. Might be the fourth one. Who knows? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4a. A person who speaks in tongues edifies themselves. That's the NIV. The New Living says, a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally in the Lord. Or the Amplified, improves themselves. The Living helps themselves grow spiritually. Now, edify means to build up. And praying in tongues always affects us in a positive way. It builds up our spirit being. It builds up us up on the inside. It equips us from the inside out. It's your daily spiritual workout in God's gym. And our faith is increased every time we pray in tongues. Our spiritual senses have been tuned to the frequency of the Holy Spirit. And we get to hear his voice more and more. This is good. This is normal. We should be able to hear from God, all of us, because God is a speaking God. And God, we as God's people need to be a hearing people. It's important. And we need to know his voice. The way the Holy Spirit speaks to us is often through his word, because the Holy Spirit will always point us to the cross, will always glorify Jesus, and will speak to us through God's word. And I know I tried to read the word, you know, when I was first coming along to church. I was just a new Christian. This was over 30 years ago. I didn't really understand it. But when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, it came alive to me. And I always remember reading John. It was the first thing I read after I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I thought I was reading my Bible, but my Bible was reading me. And it was like it would jump off the page and slap me in the face, because the Holy Spirit was quickening the word to me. He was making it alive. He was speaking it to me. He is the one who interprets the scripture to us. And he brings the word alive. Now, when I pray in tongues, I free the Holy Spirit to move on my mind with revelation, knowledge, insight, wisdom, and spiritual understanding. This is what happens. As soon as we start to pray in tongues, we put ourselves in the spirit realm. And the Holy Ghost bypasses our flesh and our soul and our intellect and goes right to your spirit. I love it. Our walk with God is not to be restricted to the cognitive level. But our spirit is now open to revelations and visions and dreams from the Holy Spirit. Because God knows everything. And he wants to show us stuff that we don't know. He wants to show us ideas for our business. He wants to show us keys for breakthrough at work. He wants to show us stuff in our marriage or how to relate to that person in our family who we're having a hard time with. He's got so much stuff he wants to show us, but we are so dominated by this. In our Western Greek style world, we're so dominated by knowledge and what we do and don't know. And knowledge builds up. It puffs up. We can get proud about how much we know. But we actually need to humble ourselves and say, God, you know everything. Show me stuff. And we get shown stuff from the Holy Spirit when we pray in tongues, when we start to speak his language. We know things that our brain doesn't even know yet. We know them in our spirit realm. He bypasses our flesh and our soul and our intellect. Although our brain is involved, because Dr. Carolyn Leaf, who wrote that awesome book, Switch on Your Brain, and we heard her speak at Sisters a few years ago, she's a neuroscientist who's done a heap of work on the brain, and she's a Christian, and she said one of the experiments they did when they put all those things all over the brain, you know, the brain, all those little sensor things, they got this Christian person to do it and pray in tongues, and every time they prayed in tongues, the whole brain lit up all over. It was the most engaging thing that could happen to a person's brain. So our whole being comes alive when we pray in tongues. There are so many benefits as we pray in tongues. It increases holiness in us, because the Holy Spirit makes us holy. When we pray in tongues, it increases our spiritual authority. It inoculates us against deception. You just know a certain thing is bad. You don't even know how you know. You don't even know why you know. But you know, and you have authority. You know that you know, because it's in your spirit. It's discernment. Praying in tongues helps us to operate in all 9 gifts of the Spirit. Helps us develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, and all of those. So when we're feeling down, praying in tongues lifts us. And praying in tongues manifests the mind of Christ in us. Another great book on this topic by Dave Robeson is called The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. He said this in his book, there is a spiritual link between tongues and revelation knowledge. Tongues is the dividing line between those who walk in the miraculous and those who don't. Do you want to walk in the miraculous? Do you want to move in the miraculous? Do you want to hear stuff that only God knows? I do. We've got to pray in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is an incredible spiritual weapon. This is why Satan has tried to remove tongues from half the church worldwide. This is why. He's scared of it. He knows what a dangerous weapon against him it is. It is much easier for us as Christians to be deceived by the changing doctrines of people when we've separated ourselves from one of the main ways that enables us to learn from the Holy Spirit himself, praying in tongues. I've heard people say, well, I have the gift of prophecy, not tongues. This is a common misunderstanding, which I've addressed before, but I'll say it again. There are two types of tongues. One is the prayer language you get when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit that every believer can have if they want it, if they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. The other one is one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, prophesying in tongues in a church meeting. Now, that is talked about in 1 Corinthians 12 in the nine gifts of the Spirit, and it requires interpretation. They're two different things entirely. But many people get them confused. I speak in tongues every day. It's my prayer language, but I've never prophesied in tongues in a church meeting. They're two different things. We all need to pray and speak in tongues personally to God. But the other one is one of the gifts. It's a separate thing. When we pray in tongues personally to the Lord, it's like our prayer language. We're on a direct phone line to God. Sometimes we just don't know what to pray anymore in English or in your own language. We don't know. We're praying for someone. We don't know what else. We're running out of words. But the Holy Spirit knows what to pray. He knows how to pray for them and what to do better than we ever could ourselves. He knows what to bind and what to loose. Here's another scripture, Romans 8, verse 26 and 27. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. Have we got that there? Romans 8, 26, 27. Because the Spirit intercedes, thanks, for God's people in accordance with the will of God. That last line's important. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us in accordance with the will of God. This is amazing. God uses it. When we speak in tongues, when we pray in tongues, he transfers mysteries and divine secrets from his Spirit into ours. That is why it is so powerful when we pray in tongues. It builds our anointing so we can break through spiritual strongholds. The Holy Spirit is praying through us, for us, and for the things we're praying for our situations. And we become bolder. We become stronger. The Holy Ghost takes the plan of Father God Almighty for your life, and he prays it through your Spirit. He's praying for your calling to be released. He is praying for your calling to be realized. He is praying the plan of God over your life into being. We don't know what he's praying, but this verse here, Romans 8, 27, tells us he's interceding for us in accordance with God's will. He's bringing the will of God into being in your life. It's so amazing. He is charging you with his holy power. As you start to walk around your room in the mornings and pray in tongues, you are enabling the Holy Spirit to pull you into your God-given future. How amazing is that? Praying in tongues activates the will of God over your life. Tell the person next to you, why wouldn't you want to do it? And your second choice, tell them too. You know, Pastor Phil Pringle, he had an experience with the Holy Spirit, and I have shared this 3 years ago when I last addressed this topic, about one day he was off to work and he was ready to go into church in the office, and he was all dressed up and he had his bag and he was just walking out the door. And in Australia they had a lot of flies, so in Australia they have screen doors. We used to have one at the farm too. And he'd open the back door and then he'd push open the screen door and he felt God say, stop, So he's standing there like this between the back door and the screen door, kind of between two doors, like just sort of standing there. And then he felt like the Lord said, go back. And he's sitting there thinking, oh, but I've just got ready and I'm just on my way to church and I've had my quiet time. Like, what are you, you know? And he just felt like the Lord said, go back. So he's standing there like this for quite a while. And then he turned around and he went back into his room and then he just took off his jacket and his bag and threw them down and then he started praying. And he didn't know why the Lord was making him wait like this, but he just started praying in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was praying through his spirit. And he started doing this for quite some time. And after a while, do you know what happened? He had this amazing experience where he saw like a printout, like when a printer prints out something from the computer, coming down before his eyes. And it was the interpretation of what he was praying. And he was shocked, because the Holy Spirit was praying for him specifically to the Father. And he was saying stuff like this. He was saying, come on, Father, you've blessed this other guy. And he starts naming pastors around town. And he starts naming ministries, worldwide ministries. You've blessed that guy. You've given this guy a building. You've blessed that crowd over there. What about Pringle? Here he is, your faithful servant, doing your will, doing your work. And he was just like, oh my goodness. I had no idea that when I prayed in tongues, the Holy Spirit was praying for me on behalf or for my situation back to the Father. He is our advocate. He is our friend. He is for us. He is for you, not against you. Do you know it's your choice to pray or not to pray? But every time you choose to pray in tongues, you will come out of that prayer time more edified in His plan and purpose for you than if you hadn't done it. God's plan for you is in the Spirit and the Holy Spirit is in you. He is your prayer partner. The Holy Spirit is so knowledgeable of God because He is God. He never prays amiss. He prays accurately. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows God's will for you in every circumstance. He's always one step ahead of the devil. The Holy Spirit never prays in unbelief because He knows the mind of God. He knows what God has called you to do in minute detail. He's going to position you as you pray in the Spirit for the things you need to do. So why wouldn't you want Him to pray for you? The Holy Spirit has never had any of His prayers ever fail. Why wouldn't you want Him to surge through you in prayer? Do you know Satan will do anything he can to stop you from praying in tongues? He fears it because he can't understand it. Whoo, goes right over his head. But he can see the fruit of it as we are growing spiritually bigger and stronger and we become a far greater threat to him. Do you know Satan tries to belittle and sideline this powerful practice of praying in tongues? He says stuff to us like, you don't need that tongues thing. I'm not actually demon-possessed. That's just my demon voice. Just wanted you to know that. You don't need that tongues thing. It's weird. You just want to be a nice, proper, socially acceptable Christian. Not one of those Jesus freaks. But he knows that the more we pray in tongues, the stronger we get. He knows that we will become bigger than the problems we face. That we don't fear the giants as we used to. The problems may still be there, but our spirit has been strengthened so much that we become larger than they are. We grow like the Incredible Hulk on the inside. I love reading about Smith Wigglesworth, that great apostle of faith who lived about 100 years ago from Britain. He said, the spirit reveals, unfolds, takes of the things of Christ and shows them to us, and prepares us to be more than a match for satanic forces. This is what we've got to get a hold of. The Holy Ghost is our advocate. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. These are the last days. We are in a spiritual battle. Some of us don't even recognize it. But more than ever before, we need to be building strength into our spirit daily by praying in tongues. It's going to help your marriage. It's going to help you in your joy levels. It's going to help you in your business. It's going to help you in your job. He's going to give you creative ideas. I want to tell you today that you need to develop a regular tongues habit in your life daily. This is going to help you more than anything, more than a pill, more than a self-help book, more than positive thinking, more than Dr. Phil or Oprah. We want the Lord to fight our battles. This is how. He knows how to pray better than we do. He knows how to bind the devil and loose things over our situations, over our lives. Whatever you are facing, the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to face it alone. He wants to intercede for you. He's got something to say about it. He is fighting for you. He wants to speak to God on your behalf. So I want to encourage you right now to think of a way and a place where you can build regular speaking in tongues into your daily routine. Time yourself for a period if necessary. Some of us already have this habit. Some of us need to do it more. Others of us haven't started yet because we're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, so we need to come soon up the front. I do a daily tongues habit in my 4-minute shower every day, or 5 minutes if I wash my hair. And that is like on top of my prayer time, but it's just getting the engine started when I wake up in the morning. We don't want to start the day in neutral and just react to everything that the devil might throw at us. We want to start our day front foot forward, full of the power of the Holy Ghost. And as soon as your feet hit the floor in the morning, you wake up and you start praying in tongues. Ora kashiaraba. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Ora kashabara. And man, the devil will be freaking out that you're awake. It's exciting. You know, when I have my prayer time, I like to walk around my room and just pray in tongues for at least 5 minutes first. Then I'm in tune with the Holy Ghost. Then I know what to pray or how to pray. If the band could come, please, that'd be fantastic. The Lord's going to show you, I believe, if you ask Him, a time in your day when you could do an extended period of speaking in tongues. It might be when you drive to work alone in the car. That's a great time. It could be first thing in the morning. It could be while you're getting ready. It takes focus at first to make yourself do it and be conscious of it, but then it becomes a habit. Do you know, the more I pray in tongues, the more I notice how God shows me things. And I think, how do I know that? I don't know how I know it. No one's told me that, but I know it because He's revealed it. And He gives me revelation, even about people I've got a burden for and how they're wired and why they do the things they do and areas are bound up. And then I know how to pray for them because I want to see them set free. God has given us this great prayer language which prays the will of God into being from heaven on earth and strengthens us at the same time. This is how you become a mighty man of God. This is how you become an amazing, strong woman of God. By praying in tongues every day. We need to fully utilize this incredible gift God's given us. We need to make good use of it, not just ignore it, not just use it on special occasions or when there's a crisis, but every day. We don't have to live by our feelings. We can live out of the power of the Holy Spirit. Because He builds us up and makes us more than equal to anything the devil can throw at us. Maybe you've been laboring in your Christian walk and you're feeling weary and tired and down. But you don't have to. Because He's an engine on the inside that He wants to switch on. We can do that every day.